Hello and welcome to the Happen Chance Podcast. My name is Seth, your host, and today's post we're talking about the fear of failure, how to manage the fear of failure. Now, the fear of failure is like an invisible fence, the kind they use for dogs. In an invisible fence, wires are buried around the perimeter of a yard. The dog wears a collar with a radio transmitter. When the dog gets near the perimeter, the collar emits a little warning buzzer. If the dog keeps going, the beep gets louder, and if he goes outside the perimeter, he gets a shock. This is classical conditioning at work. After a few shocks, the dog only needs to hear the buzzer to know that if he goes any further, he will receive an unpleasant shock. Fear of failure is quite similar, except that instead of wearing a collar and being shocked, we have these pesky little things called brains. As I wrote in a previous article on how to manage your inner critic, the brain wants us to be safe, comfortable, and protected. In order to do this, the brain creates an invisible perimeter and tells us not to step outside that perimeter. Enemies lurk outside, the brain says, and you could be hurt. You could fall on your face. Stay in here where it's safe. When we get close to this invisible perimeter, instead of a warning buzzer, we experience all kinds of strange things, scenarios in which we are ridiculed, abandoned, humiliated, mocked, and ruined. When we get even closer, instead of a shock, we get things like anxiety, cynicism, and perfectionism. But you know what? That collar only has a limited range, and once you go far enough outside the perimeter, the collar stops working altogether. Of course, you might find that another invisible fence lies even farther out in the distance and the shocks are greater, but that's no different. You can continue going and eventually be outside the perimeter. Fear sucks. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear, says Mark Twain. In the past, fear served humans well. Fear kept us safe from predators, the elements, and other humans. When venturing out into new lands, we had to be especially careful. Tigers and hostile tribes lurking in the bushes, waiting until the prime moment to pounce. By creating scenarios and imagining these threats, the brain made us keep our guard up. It's easier to fight when your weapon is at the ready. Now, at least in the developed world, we have little to fear from predators and enemies, but the brain continues to conjure threats and dangers. Why? Any creative endeavor involves setting out for new territory. Thoughts of doing and creating amazing things make us uncomfortable and anxious. When we create, we put ourselves and our hearts out there. We open ourselves up for public ridicule and shaming. Sure, some people are happy to create only for themselves, and that's fine, but having an audience will, I promise, influence and improve your work. Having an audience is like having a source of feedback, plus a target to aim for. And there's the rub. You need feedback to improve, but when the brain gleefully points out how awful it is to fail, we stop ourselves from taking the steps necessary to receive that feedback. And now I read song lyrics. I thought about the hours wasted watching TV drinking beer. I thought about the things I thought about until immobilized with fear, and all the great ideas I had and how we just made fun of those who had the guts to try and fail, and then I ended up in jail. Regrets, regrets. And that's some lyrics from Ben Folds' album called The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner, and the name of the track is Regrets. Think about these lyrics for just a moment. Who's the bigger failure? The guy who sat on the couch drinking beer and laughing at the people out there failing, or the people who actually tried and failed? What's wrong with failure? Our attitude towards failure is learned in school and reinforced through mass culture. If you do horribly in a class, you earn an F for failure. The problem is that earning an F usually results from not trying. Laziness and apathy were the cause of this failure, not thwarted effort. As we get older, though, we begin to perceive failure a little differently. Failure changes from laziness and not trying to actually trying but not having any success. And this becomes very embarrassing. Failure starts to equal doing something wrong. Failure can also mean screwing up big time. Now, history is filled with people who failed over and over and over again. You probably heard these anecdotes a million times, but just in case, Michael Jordan failed when he tried out for his high school basketball team. Michael Jordan. Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times before he successfully invented the modern filament light bulb. Robert Pirsig failed 121 times to find a publisher for Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. I'm sure you see the point. If we say that failure is not getting something right the first time and having nothing but great successes, then these people were bigger failures than the Hindenburg. Yet today, all three of these people are regarded as wildly successful individuals. As creative people, we are way too hard on ourselves. Every rejection is personal and every unrealized dream is the end of the world. Yet, by giving in to that mentality, we start to think about taking the easy road, the path more frequently traveled. If we give up on what we were meant to do, we will end up doing something we don't want to do, only because it's the safe, easy, and fail-proof path. Redefining failure. A calm sea does not a skilled sailor make. African proverb. As people who create amazing things, we need to redefine failure. Merriam-Webster's first definition of failure is an omission of occurrence or performance. Yet, if you're actually trying to do or create something, then you have performed something. The problem is you didn't get the desired result or outcome. So, in this sense, you only had a limited success and a limited failure. When your creation fails, it does not mean that you have failed. It just means that you either didn't find the right audience or market, or you need to improve your skills and take more time to make your work more awesome. We all have setbacks and we all make mistakes. Learn from your failures. In each failure lies a valuable lesson. Remember, every failure is an education. Before we get into strategies for managing the fear of failure, let's take a look at some symptoms of this odious problem. What does the fear of failure look like? Fear of failure takes many forms, but it usually comes down to one thing, not trying. How does the fear of failure manifest itself? Procrastination. We put off doing things in order to avoid the imagined pain of doing them. In reality, the pain of not doing them is usually worse than the pain of actually doing them. Anxiety. The thought that we might fail paralyzes us and prevents us from even trying. If you think about some big idea and you get a weird feeling in your stomach, that's anxiety. Fortunately, it's easy to channel this anxiety into creative energy, but you have to get started in order to do it. Cynicism. Some people become cynical and say everything is shit. This is really just an excuse not to try and to keep your fragile little ego safe in the process. Waiting for something or someone. You can wait for years, but nothing can come along. No one will rescue you. The world won't change in your favor, and your ship won't come in. Worrying too much about the opinion of others. People don't like to upset the dynamics of their social circle. Yet, when you start trying new things, you run the risk of doing just that. And if you have limited success, those who were made uncomfortable by your efforts will be the first to point out your failures. Perfectionism. Nothing is perfect, nothing. You can spend years working out the final details, but eventually you have to say enough is enough and trust that you've done the best that you could possibly do. Managing the fear of failure. In my opinion, the most important thing you can do to manage the fear of failure is to ask yourself one question. Realistically, what is the worst that could happen? That's it. Imagine the worst case scenario. This is very powerful. When you really scrutinize all the worst case scenarios you imagine, you realize they're not that bad. In almost all cases, you still have your family, friends, and finances. You might look like a goof for a few minutes, but people forget things faster than you think. And assuming you actually learn from whatever missteps you make, eventually the things you do and create will supplant any early setbacks. Here are a few more techniques for managing the fear of failure. First, judge success based on your own results. Don't compare your results to those of others. We all progress at a different pace. Just get started. This is often the most terrifying part of any endeavor. The first steps are the hardest, but once you get moving, you can make this creative inertia work for you. Set small, concrete goals. Rather than focus on one huge goal, focus on small and specific goals. For example, if you want to make a living as a painter, you want to start out by selling one piece a month and then build from there. Next, remember that you are not your work. If something you make is poorly received, either look for ways to improve it or chalk it up to a learning experience and move on to the next thing. Next, set a cutoff date. You've seen the guys that are rocking well past their prime. Their goal is to get a record deal. While their persistence is admirable, they never set a concrete goal or took responsibility for their own success. They waited on someone to rescue them. No one did. Take responsibility. Your success depends on you alone. While it's easy to blame external forces like a shitty economy, a rotten town, and lazy friends, these are all really beyond your control. Recognize that nothing is a sure thing. All endeavors require risk. Entrepreneurs risk capital and reputation. Artists and creators risk their mental well-being, but that risk is the price of admission for playing the game. Rest assured that failure does get easier. The first ones burn, but after a while it's not so bad, especially once you get some honest feedback and learn how to learn from your mistakes. Now, who am I to talk about failure? I'm proud to say that I've had a lot of failures. From each one, I've learned a valuable lesson. I failed calculus twice. I also learned two things. One, it's okay to quit things that just don't work for you. Two, don't go to class with a hangover. The first time I ever sang in front of an audience, my guitar and voice were way out of tune. My voice cracked, I forgot the words, and I quit after my second song and left in shame. Yet a few months later, I was happily crooning away in front of larger and larger audiences. My first attempt at creating an information product, Pizza Confidential, sold like 5 copies in the first 6 months. I spent more on advertising than I made in book sales. Yet from that experience, I learned some valuable lessons, but if you know anyone who delivers pizza, do me a favor and send them the link. The first time I spent any significant time away from home, I set out to hike all 2,180 miles of the Appalachian Trail. After a couple months, though, I bitched out and went home. I am currently collecting an impressive pile of rejection slips for my short fiction. At first they were form letters, but now I'm actually getting some personal and valuable feedback from editors of different journals. Now this list could continue, but I've embarrassed myself enough. And that's it for this post. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to stop by the website, happenchance.net, for excellent information on how to defeat resistance, work smarter, and create something amazing. And if you enjoyed this post, I do ask that you share it with your friends on Twitter, Facebook, or you can even go old school and print out a copy and hand it out on the street. That would be way cool. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.